one of the things I feel, okay, that was an obstacle to me when I started was I didn't know people. I didn't have a community then.
Yeah.
So the thing is that even if you don't have money, okay, all you just need when it comes down to it is a laptop, okay, and then people that are willing to help you.
Yeah.
So in the long run, it's a thing of, yeah, who do you know? Let's say someone that just started, that is not up to a year, if the person is already mentoring someone,
they'll be seen as
exactly
something.
Seen as someone big. There was this period I was working two jobs. That was about December last year. By January, I lost the first one. By February, I lost the second one. I'm sorry, I don't like having difficult conversations, but we'll have to let you go.
Yo, how's it going, Elo people? Welcome to the Elo podcast, where we have real life conversations that help you grow. On this episode, we're talking tech and the reality of building a career in tech. You know, over the last few years, tech influencers around Nigeria have brought their e-game in this selling the tech dream. You know, we've seen a lot of barriers to joining into tech being raised down. Blessing Abeng and her team at Zuri, Hack Sultan and the team at Old School, the laptop giveaways, the free trainings, has really lowered the barrier, has raised down the barrier to joining tech. But of course, I feel that there's a part of tech that they're not telling us. There's a truth about being in tech that they're not telling us. And I was really interested in finding and telling this story. So I reached out to my guy, Max, and we had a conversation in this. We talked about finding the first job, the rejection mails. We talked about losing a job in tech and how easy it is to lose your job. Really, we talked about the challenges, the sleepless nights, and the backache. If you're interested in joining tech or you're already in tech, you will find this conversation really helpful. I hope that this story, this conversation resonates with you deeply and that you learn a lot and that you have fun listening to it. Enjoy.
All right, let's get this show on the road.
Welcome, Max.
Oh, thank you,
Elo. Welcome to the Elo podcast.
Yeah, drum roll. Everybody drum clap. If there was an imaginary audience,
they'll be sorry clapping. Exactly. I very should find this
applause thing.
Digits, and just add it to this. So today I want to talk about the tech bro life. I don't know what to call it here, but share tech bro, right? The techie thingy going on in Nigeria. There's like a sudden tech rave that started, I think, in the last 3 years around Nigeria. Everybody wants to be a dev. Everybody wants to do UI, UX. Everybody wants to do data analytics. Fortunately or unfortunately, you've been there before the rave started.
Yeah.
Yes, that was why when I wanted to talk about this, I thought about you, right? Because a lot of my guys that are in tech currently entered during that rave.
Okay.
Right, started during that rave. But I mean, you've been doing this tech thing for how long have you been doing this tech thing?
Not to boast here, but then okay, it's been going on close to 7 years. Let me not even get into how the whole thing started.
How did it started? Tell us.
Okay.
Because you say you're not going to how it started. I want you to go into how it started. How did it start?
My mom has been someone that is skill oriented. Okay. She's always wanted us to have some things that we know how to do, separate from what is obtainable in the market.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I was in GES 3, okay, she was like, she wanted us to be able to do stuff. So she sent myself and my younger sister, went to a computer school with the computer appreciation.
Yeah.
That was when...
I think all parents did that. My parents did that too.
Yeah, but then our own computer appreciation was not like the regular computer appreciation. Yeah. You know, this thing was that we really had an aptitude for it. Okay, being that we grew up in a house where gadgets were our thing.
Yeah.
So coming to look at a computer was like, oh, yeah, this is not new to us. We just want to know what's going on inside of it. Yeah. So as we did it naturally, we were excelling on the computer appreciation classes. Like, we were so good that the day I didn't come to class, it was felt.
Yet. Come on.
As in back in, this was JS3.
Are you kidding?
This was JS3 over 10 years ago. But then after that, there was now a hiatus, like 3-year hiatus. I was like, there was secondary school, because I think senior secondary school is secondary school, junior secondary is just, we're getting introduction to.
Yeah.
So in senior secondary school, that was where I thought I was going to be an engineer. Yeah, so I put my energies into that and everything. But then on coming out, realized that things were not going according to plan. So I got back into tech, and that was when I learned to fix laptops, right? So coming from there and getting into school, in my second year, how many years ago was my second year? Damn, I'm old.
Man, you're old. You're old. The thing with schooling in this era is that you don't even realize how many years you spent in school and how many years you spent out of school, because everything is just jumbled up.
Exactly.
There's been COVID, there's been strike, there's been everything. Right?
Exactly. Like, it's just
and
crazy.
You're working in between schooling, so you don't even know when one stops and when the other
starts. that's it. But then fast forward to early 2018, I just got more serious with it, because up until that point I was like, oh yeah, I'm here. If they call tech bros, I'll come out and say, yeah, it's me and everything. But then in early 2018, I just told myself, man, you've got to be serious with this stuff.
Yeah.
Because I realized that leaving school, I looked into the future and I saw that leaving school, it was going to be a little bit of a challenge, because my parents, they're not well to do, so I can't come and say, oh, there's something waiting for
all
me.
Our parents are not well, yeah, to do.
Well,
the people that they're parents, the rich kids in Nigeria, they don't want 100.
Well,
I'm telling you,
even though I don't believe that,
all of us are mechanics.
Yeah. But then fast forward and early 2018, getting to that realization, like, I became restless. And yeah, I forced myself to learn. That was the first time that I went back to programming and said, yeah, I'm going to learn this stuff again. And I picked it up. It was looking difficult, okay? But then I did that on my own till 2019, where I just consolidated. So from 2019 till now, it has been a journey of blood, sweat, and tears.
So you said you consolidated. What do you mean by that?
Okay, I mean, like, I got really good.
Okay.
Up until 2019, I was just like the average Joe, that if you asked a question about tech, I could just come in and give you one or two things.
It wasn't like a job for you. It was just one of the things that I do.
It was just one of the things that I did. But now it's like the major thing I do. Every other thing is on the side.
Yeah.
So from them till now, it has just been a thing of work. Like, I mean, I can't remember the last time that I slept through the night without having to think about, this code I'm supposed to write here.
Tell me about the back pain.
Let's not even go there. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Damn. Like, you're having to sit in the same position for hours.
Mm.
And it got to a point in late 2019. What I would do is, I would be walking and I'd be standing. Like, I'd do, what I usually did was, I'd have my, like, coding sessions, marathons, where I'd walk for almost 12 hours. So you'd see me sitting down for 3, standing up for 6, kneeling down for 3. Like, it was just like,
because of the backache.
Because of backache, it was crazy.
Do you think that the people that sell tech to people these days, like, sell the idea of learning tech, do you think they're being honest? Because I'll tell you, I'm not going to, I feel they're being dishonest, because the gospel of tech these days is, come into tech will change your life.
It will change your life.
Oh, it will change your life. It will change your life in more ways than
in more ways than you think.
But in honest truth, it's like, come into tech and all your problems will be over. You will have money. You'll be a baller. You'll no longer be a mechanic.
Well, it depends on the type of mechanic you're talking about.
But in truth, have they been honest? Because these are your guys. These are your people.
Yeah.
I don't think your people have been honest. What do you have to say in their defense?
The thing is, there is no defense for it.
Yeah.
Because they don't tell you about the sleepless nights.
Yeah.
They don't tell you about the backache. They don't tell
you. They just show you fancy workstations.
Exactly. Like, yeah. You go on YouTube and you see all this beautiful space. You're like, man, I want to have this.
Yeah.
And you're like, if you get into tech, you're going to have the money to do it. But then you don't know why the guy is sitting in that type of chair.
There is this one on YouTube that happens often where it says, you know these guys that stop people that drive fancy cars and they ask them, what do you do for a living? He says, I'm a software engineer. And they're like, wow.
Exactly.
I'm a UX designer. At Google. Wow. Man.
No, the thing is one thing with tech is when you come in, okay, and then let's say you get in early, okay, you get to move up in the ranks. Okay. And as you move up in the ranks, what happens is you make more money. As you make more money, one thing with tech is that nobody tells you that initial stress thing. But the thing is that it has a learning curve. When you learn that thing, you would now want to make life better and easier for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of tech guys, I know what they do is they buy one of the first things that a guy would do, and you know that he has gotten serious with tech, his chair is going to change.
Hmm.
It's not going to be a regular plastic chair again.
Yeah.
He's going to buy, if it's not a swivel chair, it's going to be a really cushioned chair.
Yeah.
Yet, because of his back. Yeah. And the funny thing is like chair manufacturers know.
Yeah.
And chairs are costly.
Chairs are freaking costly, yes, man.
For no just cause.
Bro, I checked for one chair on at a store, and I was told the chair was for 120,000. 120,000 naira.
And that's the basic one.
120,000 naira is money that somebody should use and build house if things were good in this country.
Well, unfortunately, things are not good. So you need to buy a chair.
120,000 naira.
No, when you say it like that, you have not even talked of the price of the workstation.
My God.
You get, if you sell two of those chairs, you still haven't bought a workstation.
When you're starting in tech, you don't make that much money.
No, you do not. You absolutely do not.
How are you expected to make up for it and not die before you start making money?
Oh, that's where improvising comes in. That's where improvising comes in. I mean, I use pillows, a lot of pillows.
Yeah.
You get, for someone that hates pillows, I had to love them.
Yeah,
because what I did was the chair I was using was a wooden chair. You know how hard this stuff can be.
Yeah.
Like, I would usually sit, when I'm sat on there for 3 hours and then my back is on fire, my ass is on fire, what I do, I just take the pillow, just arrange it, and then sit down. And the funny thing is that you would think that I'd be able to stay for long on the pillows. But then, maximum 3 hours, I'm up again. But the thing is, for every tech person, the thing that drives them actually ignores the back pain. When they are out of work, when I mean out of work, I mean when they're not working, right? They don't complain about the backache.
Yeah.
Okay. When they are talking with their tech guys. But then if you're talking with a regular person, they'll be like, oh, my back, guy. Yeah. But then when they're talking with their guys, and on euphoria, there's a way the thing just happens.
There's excitement. Yeah.
Exactly. So,
or solving problems.
Exactly. And, because they're like, I mean, there's this advert on YouTube for one tech company like
that. I've not seen a YouTube ad in a long time. I think I missed them.
Brave is the
your no. YouTube Premium.
Oh, yeah.
And at least I think I'm missing YouTube ads, actually.
Well, just get a second Google account.
Do you get? Or just go incognito. Watch ads.
Just watch ads for the fun of it. I mean, so there's this YouTube ad, okay, I think for one tech company. Now, the ad is about this guy that is a developer. And in the voiceover, he was like, there was a developer. The way he's speaking and everything, it gives you this vibes of, man, I want to be a developer.
Yeah.
But then if you see his chair, this guy is making money.
Yeah.
If you see his setup, he's making money. But then for the average guy that is just starting, it's going to be a while. Okay. But then the thing with tech is that it pays based on, it's not a thing of the amount of time you've spent.
Yeah.
In the end, if you have people that are going to fast track your movement.
There's too many moving parts in tech.
Exactly. But
to start earning from tech.
Yeah. But then the thing is,
there's the network parts.
Exactly. Exactly.
There is the availability of information to you,
exactly,
which can be as a result of network.
Of the network.
Plus, if you have money.
It could ease your transition. Exactly. Yeah. But someone that doesn't have money, like myself, I didn't have money. I mean, how many laptops have I used since? I've used like more than five.
Yes. I know your full laptop story.
Because I mean,
Well, shout out to Loudworks. Loudworks is always delivering laptops to us. Like
exactly.
The best on the market.
The current one I use is from Loudworks.
I mean, my current laptop is from Loudworks, man. And the battery life, I think what I love about this is the battery life. It lasts forever. Literally. I don't remember, since I got this laptop, I don't remember having to pause work.
Yeah, to plug it in.
To pause work because maybe light was out, or it's always on when I want to work. And I really love that about that. So, Loudworks, thank you so much for supporting.
You can reach Loudworks at 0806-710-4951. If you have problems or questions about your current laptop or you want to purchase a new one.
So, the thing is that even if you don't have money, okay, all you just need when it comes down to it is a laptop, okay, and then people that are willing to help you. Well, I think in the tech community now, because of this, the rave, plenty of people are joining, communities are exploding, okay? And as communities are exploding, it means that there's a wealth of information. Yeah. So with the wealth of information, it means that you now have persons that are willing to help, willing to teach. Because one of the things with tech is the more people you help, the better you get.
And the more your perceived value.
Exactly. Because let's say someone that just started, that is not up to a year, if the person is already mentoring someone,
they'll be seen as
exactly
something.
Seen as someone big. Yeah. So in the long run, it's a thing of who do you know? Yeah, because one of the things I feel that was an obstacle to me when I started was I didn't know people. I didn't have a community then.
Yeah.
It's just recently. When I mean recently, I mean like 2 years ago. That I started joining communities and going out and stuff. But then up until 2 years ago, I didn't have that community. I didn't have people around me. It was as if it was a solo journey.
Yeah.
And it was not that it was difficult. It was just something. Because the amount of time that I took learning, if I had a community, it probably would have been easier.
Yeah.
I would be where I am, would be somewhere different. But then I'm glad I took the road I took, because it means that I learned it the hard way. I learned it myself. So if to say I could start from scratch, I can start from scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the end, for the next guy starting, he should remove his eyes from the money.
How easy is that?
It's not. That's the problem, because the money is what attracts you.
Man, the money is important.
Very. But then initially you won't make it. Like I had to stay for an entire year without a job.
So it's like if you have something going on already, don't let go of that first.
Exactly.
While you're learning your tech.
Exactly. Because the thing, and now there's this illusion when it comes to tech, the experience.
Yeah.
People think that it's the number of years. But then I've come to find out actually that it's not. It's actually the amount of work you've gotten done.
Yes.
That counts.
Yes.
Yeah. Because companies out there, they don't want to know if you spend 10 years or 20 years. They want to know, what have you built? What have you done? You're a designer. What have you designed?
Yes.
You get. You write code. What problems have you solved with the code? That's just what they want to see. They want to know how you think. You get. So a lot of times, I think they should set the money on the side and then teach these young persons coming in that, see, this thing is not about all the money yet. Learn the pattern of thinking, because it's just a way of solving problems. Because I realized that when I came back, back in 2019, that, I've been going at this the wrong way. I was trying to brute force it. I was trying to memorize everything. I was trying to, be able to quote the textbook. But then I realized that, no, it's actually the pattern of thinking, not knowing what the textbook says, when to do what. It's a pattern of thinking. So like that way, now I could sit down with someone that just come in, and the problems that they have, well, they are going to be little problems.
To you.
Exactly. Yeah. So when we now talk, part of me is like, how can't he see that he's going this the wrong way?
Stop it.
Yeah. But then in the end, it's been a long road. It's been a long road. I mean, 4 years is a lot of time.
It is.
4 years is a lot of time.
To get anything, even for a degree, it's a lot of time.
Exactly. It's a lot of time.
I'm so happy for your journey. When you were talking, you spoke about relationship with the time of learning, then starting to work.
Yeah.
And how you required some level of network. Tell me about your first job hunting experience. Generally, your job hunting experience, right? Because, I mean, having a lot of tech people around me, I know about the millions and millions of rejection mails. Right? One of my guys said that the rejection mails now seemed like love letters to you.
I get that. I mean, the other day, one of the companies that I applied to, they were like, "You're not a good fit. Thank you." I was like,
"Really?"
Yeah, they actually did say that. I was like, I wrote them back a message. I said, "Thank you for letting me know." These days, I've come to appreciate the companies that actually write to me to tell me that, oh, this is not going to work. Because
some just
ignore you. Exactly. Some just ignore you. And I'm like, that's rude. Just tell me that, yeah, you are not a good fit. And I'll be okay with that. It's not a big deal to say no. Yeah. Get, but then the first job I got was back in 2020, and it was in church, because I had applied, one of the things that's so discouraging is my CV then. How many projects did I have? I had very few projects because that was when I was just getting back. I had very few projects. I hadn't done a whole lot of things, so when I came back. It took me quite some time to get on my feet. Okay. But then there was this guy I met in church. I told him, oh, I do this. I was like, oh, okay, let me get your contact. And 2 weeks later, he chatted me up. I was like, yeah, there's this something I want you to do. I did it. He was impressed. And I was like, this is nothing. Like, I have more skills than this. Why are you impressed with something like this? But then I got to realize that he's impressed because he can't do it.
And he has the network.
Exactly.
And has the information.
Exactly. He can do it. He had ample opportunity to learn. One thing that he'd tell me, I'm still friends with him. One thing that he would tell me is that programming is difficult. Yeah. It is.
See, tech is hard. There's no part of tech that's easy.
There is no part that is easy.
I think one of the hardest parts of tech is that there's just too many people to impress.
Yeah, there's that too.
The thing is,
I've gotten to a part in my journey where I don't need to impress you. Okay. What I need to do is to do my job as advertised. That's just it.
Yeah.
Do my job as advertised. Any other extra thing is extra. But then it's to meet the requirements and meet them well. Okay, now it's not a thing of quantity, right? It's a thing of quality. Yes, if whatever it is I'm building is supposed to lock the door and just that, it shouldn't lock the door and remove the keys
and paint the room.
It should just lock the door.
Yes.
Exactly. Again, so now it's no more a thing of, oh, you're here, what can you do?
But as a starter, right, there is the temptation to want to do more than your job description.
Yeah.
You know, there is that temptation to want to go the extra mile, at least to get in the good books of people that you think can help you.
Yeah, there is that. But then the thing is, where that temptation exists, I would not advise that you yield to it. Because the thing, if you yield to it, you would find out that it's going to be something parallel to what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because one thing, I'm going to reference software development a lot, because I'm a software developer. So the software, there are guidelines you get. There is a design book. You're to build it according to the design book, not a design book. You get. If you do anything outside of what is
on the design,
then what you've built is not the design. Okay, so now there are rules to follow. Yeah, but then when you're starting out, oh, it's as if they suspend the rule book for you.
Yeah.
Just learn, build, go crazy. But then as you grow, you get more streamlined. It's as if, oh, you stick to the book. No extras. Yeah, because extras, they take your time. Yeah. And then one thing that will help you in quality is not the amount of stuff that you'll be able to put in. is the amount of time you spend doing exactly what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's what you get paid for. Yeah. Nothing extra. I mean, there's no company out there that is going to pay you, oh, because say the app is supposed to find your location and it now finds your location and texts you the location or maybe saves it on your phone.
Yeah.
So that when you're...
Nobody's going to pay you extra for that.
So
just do what you say you will do.
Exactly. 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 That's just it. Just Zoike. Yeah. So the job, for the jobs, since then, jobs have been coming in. It gets, but then one thing with tech is that, or rather software development, is if you don't have a steady job, it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
Because as a freelancer that year, it was as if I was living from hand to mouth.
Honestly.
Like, it was crazy.
Honestly.
Oh my God. And okay, that was where, in 2019, I was still in school and a lot of things that I needed to do in school, I was raising the money from what I was doing.
Yeah.
So there will be periods when you're supposed to, say, buy a material, do an assignment, and the money will just not be there. And I can't call home. They don't have it. Like, that's crazy. They don't have it.
Yes.
So I would have to just wait for the next job. And while waiting for the next job, you can't just... One thing with it is that you can't just sit down and do nothing. As you're waiting for the next job, you have to build something in between. Because that thing you're going to build is what's going to help you get the next job. Yeah. So there is just the state of, if you're not working, you are working to get
the
job.
You're working to get more jobs, more work.
Exactly. So you know that thing that they say, no food for lazy man. In tech, you can't be lazy. When it comes to tech, you're not hardworking. You're super working.
Yeah.
Again, it's no more hard work. Yeah. You're now doing something extra.
Yeah.
Because when you're not working at the office, you are home working.
Yeah.
Like my life right now, I don't sleep up to 8 hours anymore.
Honestly, I want to ask about the well-being of tech bros. Because a lot of times I get worried, right? I get worried because you see young people falling ill. And they're not falling ill because of something hereditary or normal life, right? They're falling ill because they are abusing their bodies.
Yeah.
And you see that a lot amongst tech people, right? Yeah. You see young people at 24, you're having high blood pressure, backache, and all the bad things that are possible. I don't know how to phrase this question, right? But I think that you probably would have experience with that in protecting yourself or... What do you do specifically to help your body?
Okay, usually the thing that happens is there are burnout times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Burnouts.
There are optimum times of work. Like over the years I've discovered that I work best. Like I had to break my work into two halves. Right. So the first part of the day, because usually we have 8 hour work days. So the first part of the day is the first, say, 3.5 hours, okay? So that's the optimum time when you organize your to-dos, you make sure you don't have pending work from the day before, and then if there's anything new you're supposed to start, you start it. But then after 3.5 hours, if you try to push it, it's useless. Because in those periods, I've discovered that my head is aching, my eyes are turning, and if I try to push it, I'll be sleeping at my desk.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the next time is after such time, I'll have to like wait for say 1 hour, 30 minutes or 2 hours, depending on the amount of work I have to be able to get back to work. So usually what I do when I was working remotely, now I work in an office. When I was working remotely, what I'd do is I'd sleep. Get out. Yeah, it's very important.
Very important, actually.
I'd sleep.
In the best interest of your company.
Exactly. I tell my my boss at that time, just tell him that, oh, I'm going to bed. I'm going to be unavailable from so and so for a period of time. And then I'd sleep. And then the crazy thing is that I'd wake up and I'm not up to speed yet. Because I'm still, this is me coming from, let's say, through the night, I had to be up because I have a presentation in the morning and the stuff is not working. Because I mean, like over the weekend there's this bug, this very nasty weird bug that I had to fix at the office.
Yeah.
It took me 3 days, three whole days.
Fixing one thing,
just one part of the application. And the thing is that that part of the application was like where everything rested on.
Yeah.
And it was so annoying because Because the regular story, what a lot of software developers will tell you, oh, it's working on my system, but it's not working online.
Was that your situation?
It is a situation, a very serious situation. Because you have a scenario where you've tested it. Your boss has looked at it on your PC. It's working fine. He says, okay, put it
online.
And you put it live. And everybody's happy because, yeah, it works.
Yeah.
And then you do the demo. It doesn't.
Or like, the demo works, but then somebody's trying to access it outside of the primary, this thing. And it's not working.
And it's not working. Like, I mean, like when that happened, my boss just called me and he was like, Max, get this thing working. And the thing, he would ask me, why is it not working?
I think this will lead us to the next question I have lined up. Toxic work environments amongst tech people, right? Tech firms. And the fact that the well-being of a lot of tech bros, right? A lot of companies don't even watch out for your well-being, right?
Yeah.
You can lose your job. You can have a job today and come the next day and you don't have a job anymore.
Yeah.
But let's finish what we're talking about so we don't confuse people.
Yeah, exactly. So for health-wise, I sleep a lot. When I say I sleep a lot, I don't mean I sleep a lot.
Yeah.
I mean I am forced to sleep because my productivity reduces if I don't get enough sleep. I mean, these days, I have to take naps in between work, in the middle of the day. So I usually sleep really late, say around 11, 12, sometimes 1 a.m. Then when it gets really bad and whatever I
see, this thing vexes me because you see a lot of tech people saying sleep is for the weak. Sleep is for the weak. Rich kids can go to sleep, you cannot. The new one is now, if you sleep, if you it's 1 a.m. you are sleeping by 1 a.m. You're a rich kid, though. You're a baller.
No, there's this meme I saw the other day. There's this tech guy. He was coding.
Yeah.
And then he was dreaming. He was like, as he was coding, he was sleeping. You know, one thing with code is that there's a point you get to. You can write code on autopilot.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I've been there. Times when your head knows what to do, your hand knows what to do. You can literally be asleep at your desk, but you're working.
Interesting.
Now, that one is when you have gone way past burnout. Yeah, that's like in periods when you're stressed out.
There's a deadline.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can't sleep before you have fixed it. So I've been there. I mean, there was this period where I had to deliver this project the next day and I didn't have electricity the day before. And weirdly, I couldn't buy fuel. I was like, it was as if the universe conspired against me.
I'm telling you, my guy.
Like, it was just crazy. Then, as it would happen, electricity came the night before the deadline.
Oh, man.
I couldn't sleep. There was no way I could sleep. I mean, what would I tell the clients? Oh, there was no electricity. No, that's not professional at all.
It's not.
So what did I do? I took an obscene amount of coffee. Stayed up. I stayed up.
What? Max, you have this romance with coffee. And the annoying thing is that you drink coffee black.
Well, unfortunately.
Have you moved on from that cultist behavior?
It's a cultist behavior. No, recently I've been taking it with sugar.
But I can't comprehend that thing, right? Are you a cultist?
No, I
was it you that killed Jesus? What kind of suffering is that?
No, see,
what kind of tribulation is that?
No, the thing is, according to the people that indoctrinated me in the coffee ways, coffee works best without sugar and milk. And I found out that it does work.
No, maybe if you're adding milk to coffee, it's won't eat a bounty breakfast.
It's quite useless. So for sleep and all, you need to sleep a lot. Yeah, because there's this craze that usually that goes with when you're just getting into tech, that they'll tell you, you need to learn this. And then what's on your mind is there's no time. Yeah, because I mean, you're like 24 hours in the day, and let's say you have a job, you come back from the job, you have to go and learn. So you'd go there, get stressed out, spend the next 4, 5, 6 hours in front of your PC.
Yeah.
And then when you look up, you realize, oh, I have only 2 hours to sleep before I get to the office. So if you do this for a week straight, you're going to break down.
You're going to burn out, man.
You're going to break down. And this has happened to me consecutively. But then unfortunately, when I go and tell my boss, oh, I need an extended vacation. If I do that, he's going to be without pay.
Yeah.
You get, right now, I can't afford to go without pay, at least for now. But then, ideally, how we cope, we take vacations, lots of vacations. Let's say in the year, you could take 3 or 4 vacations without your laptop and phone.
And pass it hard. Tech bros have this reputation of partying like their lives depend on it.
It does.
I don't know why.
Their life does depend
on it. You see them partying like they want to finish the party.
You know, the thing is, they are not under the illusion that they can always party. They are not under that illusion. So what they do is that they take the opportunities we get.
Yeah.
We get. So anytime that we say, oh, you're not going to be able to work for, say, an entire day, you're just going to chill, we take it super serious. Like, super serious.
So that's why when you see tech bros partying, it's like...
Yeah. It's like the world is going to end if they don't party. Yeah. Because we know what is going to happen if we don't party.
But like, if you are this stressed, you don't just be sleeping when you have time. Just sleep.
See the thing, the older you get in tech, the more work you get.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then, with the more work you get, the less time you have. Right. So, when you are looking at this relationship now, what it means is that you would have to spend less time sleeping. So that what now happens is you now take vacations and try to recuperate. This way you now find us doing things like exercising, organizing
outdoor events.
Yeah, there are companies that do that. Yeah.
Hiking and all of that.
Exactly. Now the point is they want to get you in a state to be able to keep contributing to what you're doing. Some companies realize that, some don't.
Yeah.
Yet. So the place where I work at now, it's not really a thing yet.
Yeah.
But eventually it has to be.
Yeah.
But then the only way to cope is that on your own, you have to take some time off.
So I'm happy that we're talking about tech companies now, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, the reports that people give of companies generally, right? Nigeria's labor laws are very loose. And I've realized that a lot of companies in Nigeria and outside Nigeria maximize it to exploit people,
yeah.
Right? One of these things is that in tech, especially in tech,
yeah.
You can have a job today and come the next day and you realize you don't have a job. What has been your experience with this?
I mean, there was this period I was working 2 jobs. That was December last year. And by January, I lost the first one. By February, I lost the second one. Okay, now, the crazy thing is that... When I started at the job, I told them, this is what I do. I've come on board, this is what I do. And my CTO, that's my chief technical officer,
yeah.
He was like, we're going to use this language. I told him, sir, I don't know how to write this. When I was hired, this was not what was written in my contract.
Yeah.
He was like, we're going to manage, you will learn on the job. And I was like, that is not going to be good for, I mean, this is the first product. We can't have me learning on the job. Let's use what we're comfortable with. At least let's push this out first. He was like, no, don't worry. We'll be good. From we'll be good to you're not contributing as much as you're supposed to contribute to. I'm sorry, I don't like having difficult conversations, but we'll have to let you go. Oh, like, wow. I said this at the beginning so that we don't get here. But then the second one was the one that was much more comical.
Yeah,
because that one, usually, because of the amount of stress, you could forget to do some things. And that's exactly what happened to me. Because this one is, I pushed some code that, and it entered where it was not supposed to enter. Funny thing is, when I think back to it, there was no way I could have made that mistake. Yeah, so thinking about it, I was just asking myself, what went wrong? What happened? In the end, the what stands clear is that you were super stressed. Because, I mean, there was no way under normal circumstances that would have happened. But then, at least...
But is that enough reason to fire someone? There were laws that protected that.
No, you can't get fired like that. No.
People make mistakes.
Fired. Exactly. You shouldn't get fired over...
It's like in tech, yeah? Mm. It's like people expect tech people to be robots.
Unfortunately, yes. But then the thing with tech is robots still can do our jobs. Yeah, because, I mean, for tech, you would have to... It's not where... There are places where you have to make decisions that would involve human beings,
yeah.
I get, not just code had logic.
Yeah.
So since robots can't take the job, a human being has to do it. And if that human being is super stressed, the job is going to suffer. But unfortunately, a lot of these companies, they don't consider whether or not you have rested. Like, they do not consider
the
it.
The job has to job.
Exactly. It's just crazy. They don't consider it. Like, what is most scary now is at my current workplace, we are just getting done with a product. I'm hoping that we are going to be done this week. But then the problem is that there is a lineup already of to-dos, brand new products to build that's going to take another six months to a year. Yeah, so that one means, oh, you're just jumping off one where you're like, oh, I didn't rest enough.
Let me catch a breath.
Let me just catch my breath. And next thing, they just call you into a meeting. Like, yeah, the design sprint for this one is starting. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And if there were laws.
Do you think this is why most tech people in Nigeria are moving out?
It's one of the reasons. The primary reason is the money. What they are being paid is not commensurate to the amount of work they are putting
in. Required to put
and then in. The second thing is that they don't get enough vacations. They don't get enough times to rest. It's just very few companies. I mean, just one company that I've worked for that actually had a pension plan.
Exactly.
Just one. The other ones, they don't.
People are working off their lives and their asses, and there is no plan. There is no healthcare. There is no plan for their future. All they get is what they keep.
Exactly. Like, it's just crazy. But then the thing is that older companies, okay, not startups now, older companies have some sort of things in place. But then the thing with older companies is that a lot of times they don't hire people that are just coming in.
Yeah.
They want you to be a veteran.
Yeah.
The only way to be a veteran is to work for the companies that you slave at. So when you're done being a slave, you come out. You now have the experience the older companies want. But then it's crazy. By the time you're getting there, you're gray-haired in your 40s.
With a family.
You have the money is there, yes, but then your life has been cut short. Yeah, it's just... And then if to say a lot of these companies paid enough, you could say, oh, I'll be able to fund some time of work.
Yeah.
But then, unfortunately, it's as if tech is paying you more, the cost of living is going up.
Yeah.
Yes, and... Just very crazy. It's now as if the distance between your salary and the index of living.
It's like you're earning more money, but you're still living hand to mouth.
Hand to mouth. Exactly. It's crazy.
Pay package to pay package, month to month, salary to salary, right? God, I beg.
And then for tech bros, the bills we pay. Oh, dear.
And
Lord.
The fact that everybody thinks that because you're in tech and you use a MacBook, you should have plenty money.
Well, unfortunately, life doesn't work like that.
You get.
It doesn't.
You use a MacBook that was paid for by the company. They don't even know this, right? But you use a MacBook, you use an iPhone. That means you should have money.
You should have money. But then, unfortunately, the thing with this work is that you end up spending an obscene amount of money on data. You end up spending an obscene amount of money on power. Yeah, these are the two things.
Nobody tells you these things.
They don't. The thing is for newbies, I feel all the cards should be on the table. Yet what I do is as when I get to mentor people,
yeah,
I tell them, see, you're going to have sleepless nights. If you're ready for it, let me give you the 411. You're going to have sleepless nights. You're going to need lots of data. You're going to try to pull your hair out because you're following the tutorial. You're writing the exact same thing. But then it's not working.
It's not entering.
You get. And you're reading the book and you're doing exactly what they said to do. It's not working. So you're going to have all those times. Are you ready to come in? Some persons respect themselves and say, oh, well, if that's what it takes, That's not my life. But then there are those ones that feel they can do it, and they come in. You get. And out of these ones that feel they can do it, not up to 50% of them last. Because there will just be something, just something that will just make you look at things and say, oh, I can't do this. So I think in the end, all this information is something that should be given to every single person that is coming in. I know it's glamorous.
Yeah.
You want to get in, you want to make the money.
See, that blue light is very important.
And then we've not even spoken about the headaches behind your eyes.
Bro!
Because right now, it was as I started to take, I realized that, oh, there is the general headache.
Then there is the headache.
There is the headache.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Oh God, let's not even go there. Let's not even
And anti-glare glasses will not help you.
They will not.
They will not help you. They may reduce it a little, but it will help you, bruv.
They will not.
Hey.
It's just crazy. All of this information is just things that people don't get told. They come in and they discover it on their own. And then the coping mechanisms, they will have to cope on their own. Yeah, because anybody that you go to ask...
See, if I tell you how many young people are on drugs because of this... make it in 3 years plan. Like they have gotten hooked to drugs, and I'm talking about people in tech, people in arts and creativity.
Unfortunately, they have to find a way to let the stress go.
Exactly.
Unfortunately,
I feel we are working ourselves to death.
We actually are. One line of code at a time.
But you remember, it's direct things, right? It's probably one canvas at a time.
Exactly. But then the thing in the end is that we would have to find that balance. I mean, for me, what has helped me is scheduling, creating a schedule and sticking to it. Yeah, because I realized that my boss calls me after work hours.
I will ignore your call, sir.
No, the thing with my boss is that even he after we've left the office and everything, as I go home, I know that my work hours still extend to 11 p.m.
Nah.
Like, it's crazy. The funny thing is that if I ignore his calls, I'm going to get a lot of trouble for it the next day at the office.
Oh my God.
So let's not even go there. So what I usually do is when he calls, I take the call. A lot of these calls I answer on autopilot. I'm like, yes, it's working. No, they should just do it this way. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, because I'm tired, I'm stressed, I want to sleep. But then you're calling me and you're asking me, oh, yeah, is it working now? I say, yes, they can do whatever it is they want to do. It's just...
My God.
It's just crazy. You get... I'm not going to make an excuse for them because it's useless to do so. If they realize that, yeah, we are human beings and we would need an ample amount of time to rest, then I feel it would get easier because... they feel they are under a lot of pressure. So they now push it down on us. And unfortunately, as they push it down on us, the pressure we are feeling is not the pressure of the boss is directing pressure at me. The pressure you're feeling is, I want to be done with this stuff, but weirdly, something is making it not possible. Yeah. Again, so when the stress is coming down to you, you're like, you can't deal. Again, so a lot of times you now find people quitting. Because I mean, there's this thing they now do, there's quiet quitting. You don't say anything. You don't come to work. You just don't take calls. Nothing.
There's a story in my head in line with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A friend's colleague. Okay, two friends of mine, right? One person's colleague disappeared from the office, did not turn up. Right?
Yeah.
For weeks, they're trying to reach this person. Yo, what's up? I think this person blocked the employers and everybody from the other office. Right?
Because he got a new job.
Exactly. And the place she got a new job is another friend's workplace.
Crazy.
Right. So you know where this person is, but you cannot even talk. You
can't even talk about it. You get like no
But I think it's employers getting what's due for them. Because you can't keep pushing people, right?
And treating expect people them not to break.
Exactly. Not just break and expect them to have empathy for you.
Oh, of course they will not. They will not. They absolutely will not.
So for a lot of employers, it's all for the money, right? You just keep working. We're making money. Your salary is getting paid, right? But you're dying.
You're dying. Like, I mean, a lot of my friends, they would say that the real work starts when they get home.
That's
Yeah, that's the funny thing. Yeah, you leave the office and you think, no, regular people leave the office and
work I'm is thinking done. Of a possible solution to that. And the only thing that comes to my head is that Nigerian labor fighters, right, should leave politics and actually do their job.
How possible is that going to be? I mean, right now, as you said this, now I'm thinking of a utopia.
Like, honestly, because, what is this?
Unfortunately, this is where we find ourselves. The thing is that you would think it would get better. It will not until, say, necessary and proper laws are put in place.
Exactly.
It will not. Because right now, in the Nigerian ecosystem, the federal government, the revenue that comes from tech, if there is any that comes for them, they want it to keep coming in. And for it to keep coming
there's
in.
There's a lot of revenue that comes from tech. Yeah. I think I was reading one report and it was saying that, I don't remember the details, but it was saying that tech had generated more revenue for the government than oil.
So fact check, a recent publication by TechAbout dated September 1st, 2022 says, technology now contributes more than oil to Nigeria's GDP. According to the report, ICT and tech contributed 18.44% to Nigeria's GDP in the second quarter of 2022, as against oil that contributed a miserly 6.33% in the second quarter of 2022.
So if that, for that to keep happening, pressure is going to be applied in specific areas. And we all know who this pressure is going to come down to. So in the end, the thing is that I feel a lot of companies, they change workers like clothes. This guy gets in, he burns out, exits, next person. That's what they just do. They just fire you, hire the next person, fire this guy, hire the next person. It's just crazy. The thing is, they don't realize that the well-being of the workers should be first and foremost before every other thing. Because we are talking things, if this was to be, say, a foreign company that is employing foreigners, like their own people, indigenous people.
And the way Nigerian employers treat Nigerians is the same way that foreign employers treat Nigerians.
Exactly. You would have us, you know, this. Oh, in all these things, we don't have 24/7 electricity here yet. But then you expected to, from the money that you're being paid, to set up yourself. To make sure that you lack nothing.
Exactly. You deliver 100% on your job.
100% on your job. And then as you're delivering 100% on your job, it means no downtimes. That's not possible for a human being to absolutely have no downtimes. It doesn't work.
That way.
It doesn't work that way at all. That person has to be on life support. And unfortunately, the way Nigeria is...
There is no life support.
There is no life support.
Guy, if you need life support, you will die. Sorry, my guy.
Exactly. There is no life support. I mean, you might be making thousands of dollars, but then the thousands of dollars, it will be telling on you. It will tell on you.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the one thing that you could say is a remedy is just to get more experience. Because the more experience you have, the more options. But then you have more options, very importantly. You could choose that, I am going to take this, I'm not going to take this. You can now go into consulting, but then it's going to take years to get
a lot of time.
A lot of time.
And a lot of prayer because
exactly. So just you have to just surround yourself with people that, even if all of you are being oppressed, but then they know people, you know them. You know people, they know you. Exactly. Yeah. So just like that, information flows.
So in summary, what would you say your biggest lesson in your entire tech journey has been?
Okay. My biggest lesson has been, don't rush.
Yeah.
Like, you think there's no time. There is time. There is time, because you think that, there's a lot to learn, so little time. Take your time. Because there are some things that, it's not that I skipped them, I didn't pay enough attention to them, that I had to go back down to learn. Yeah. But then, I'm happy. Okay. And then, to anyone coming up, don't get that illusion of you want to make the big bucks quick, because it will put you under a lot of pressure. Just calm down. Learn. Get good. The money will come naturally. And then surround yourself with people that know, because they're going to make your journey easier. Okay. Don't try to do it alone. Surround yourself with people that know. and then find a mentor, someone that is like 5, 6, 7 years ahead. At least that person will help you navigate and avoid a lot of problems. Good. So just pick a mentor, take it easy, and you're golden. You're golden. And you'll sleep a lot.
It's all right. Thank you so much, Maximilian Max Oti, for coming on the Elo podcast.
It's been my pleasure.
That's all we have today on the Elo podcast. If you enjoyed this, do well to let us know via Instagram at @Elo_podcasts. And if you found this helpful, please share with the people you love. My name is Harachi Elo, and until next time, Udo.